Our first speaker this afternoon is Miguel Castillo. His co-authors are Sollenberger, Blount, Farrell, Williams, Makowiak. The title is Strip Planting of Rhizoma Peanut in Bahia Grass Pastures to Increase Production and Sustainability of Low-Input Forage Livestock Systems in Florida.
My name is Miguel Castillo, and I'm a graduate student at the Agronomy Department at the University of Florida. The title of the presentation today is Strip Planting of Rhizoma Peanut in Bahia Grass Pastures to Increase Production and Sustainability of Low-Input Forage Livestock Systems in Florida. I'd like to recognize the co-authors, Drs. Sollenberger, Blount, Farrell, Williams, and Makowiak. The presentation is divided in three sections. First section, I will go through some of the challenges of the grass-based beef production systems and the reason why we're looking at legumes, and specifically at rhizoma peanut. The second section, I will share our approach for strip planting and discuss two experiments. And a last section of summary conclusions and implications. The contribution of legumes to agricultural and animal production systems are pretty well described in the literature. High nutrient value translates in increased animal responses, and the capacity of legumes to fix atmospheric nitrogen fixation improves soil characteristics and accelerates ecosystem nitrogen cycling. In Florida, Bahia grass is the most common and widely used warm season grass species. Due to the increased cost of nitrogen fertilizer, addition of nitrates to this system is cost prohibitive. In systems where there's limited addition of nitrogen, it's actually desirable to include a legume species that can help to provide a higher nutrient value of the forage offer and as well to reduce the risk of pasture degradation. There are some legumes that have been tried for such systems. Nevertheless, after the type of management that was required to keep these mixtures running, actually people realized that farmers actually had very little adoption of these systems. When we look at the characteristics of these legumes, we can see that all of them are seed propagated. They have no rhizomes or stolons, and they have an annual cycle. This is completely opposite compared to the rhizoma peanut or Achis glabrata, which has rhizomes and it's a perennial. It is indeed these underground nutrient reservoir structures that provide rhizoma peanut with a capacity to be persistent under grazing and a capacity to spread. So rhizoma peanut is a persistent perennial warm season legume. It was introduced in the United States in the early 1930s. It has a high forage quality comparable to alfalfa. One of the limitations for rhizoma peanut in grazing systems is the high cost of establishment. With $1,000 per hectare or greater for establishment, the actual use of rhizoma peanut has been limited to hay production systems. Several cultivars have been released in the University of Florida. The one I'm using for these experiments is Florigraze, simply because it's the most widely planted in the state of Florida this time. So the key question we want to answer is, what approaches can be used to successfully establish rhizoma peanut in association with already existing Bahia grass pastures to reduce the cost of establishment and help maintain or increase pasture productivity in nitrogen-limited systems? One approach that we propose is strip planting. The idea behind strip planting is to exploit the spatial separation as a strategy to control plant competition and allow successful establishment and spread of rhizoma peanut in nitrogen-limited Bahia grass pastures. Also to reduce the cost of pasture establishment to levels that may be affordable by beef cattle producers and minimize or eliminate inputs of nitrogen fertilizer. Strip planting approach have been used in other scenarios, like in Australia, when they look at the associations of legumes like Leucaena with tropical grasses in quite extensive systems. Our approach is to prepare a strip in an already existing Bahia grass pasture. The width of the strip is determined by the mechanical implement. In our case, it's a 4-meter-wide strip, and we planted 8 rows of rhizoma peanut, separated 50 centimeters between them. We will discuss two experiments. Experiment 1 looks at the defoliation effects during the establishment year. Experiment 2 looks at weed management techniques during the establishment year. The research question that we want to answer for experiment 1 is, in existing Bahia grass pastures that were strip planted to rhizoma peanut, What is the impact on legume establishment of haying or grazing the pasture during the establishment year? We propose four treatments. Treatment one is a control where there is no defoliation of the strip, but only defoliation of the bahia grass on the edges of the strip. Treatment two simulates a hay production system with the strip and the bahia grass mowed to 10 centimeters of stubble height every 28 days. Treatments three and four correspond to the grazing treatments. The plots, the strip, and the bahia grass were grazed to 15 centimeters of stubble height. Treatment three simulating a continuous stocking, pastures grazed weekly. Treatment four, a rotational stocking grazed every 28 days. That's a schematic of the field plot layout. You can see we used a randomized complete block design, replicated three times, experimental units. The size of each experimental unit is 9 meters wide by 15 meters long. The width is determined by 4 meters, the width of the strip, and 2.5 meters on each side of the strip with bahia grass. Today we will be looking at data that corresponds to the year of 2010. The response variables that we will discuss are rhizoma peanut ground cover, frequency, and light environment. And these were measured in the planted strip. Rhizoma peanut ground cover was visually estimated every 28 days after defoliation. That's an schematic of an aluminum frame that we used in the field. We placed it in the strip. Each cell corresponds to a 10 by 10 centimeter where we visually estimated the ground coverage, and the average of those provided an estimation for an experimental unit and actually placed the frame in two locations. So the average of the two locations provided an estimation for ground coverage for one experimental unit. Frequency is a measure of the distribution of the rhizoma peanut on an area basis. We expressed as a percentage and calculated as the number of cells out of a total of 20 where rhizoma peanut was present. Light environment, we use a sand scan device. The idea behind light environment is to characterize the percentage of the incident photosynthetic absorbed radiation, or PAR, that reaches the canopy of the rhizoma peanut. If there's no wind pressure or shading to the rhizoma peanut, we would expect 100% of the incident light to reach the canopy of the rhizoma peanut, as opposed to where there's wind pressure, we would expect a fraction of the incident part to reach the canopy of the rhizoma peanut. The strips were plowed and disked during fall and were planted in mid-March. The treatments were imposed 7 weeks after first sprout emergence was observed of the rhizoma peanut. Sprout emergence of the peanut was observed after 3 or 4 weeks after planting. So mowing to 10 centimeters simulates a hay harvest situation. Grazing to an stubble height of 15 centimeters is actually based on the results of previous studies done by Ortega and others in 1992. And the methodology for grazing was mob grazing. Let's look at the results of experiment one. Ground coverage, we can see that grazing rotationally or continuous greatly reduced ground coverage compared to two treatments, the control and the hay production treatments. Values in the hay and control treatments were up to between 30 and 40% ground coverage. When we look at the frequency, we can see that frequency followed the same trend, grazing greatly reduced compared to the hay and the control treatments. The highest frequency was reached late August and reached between 60 and 70% frequency in each plot. The light environment, if we average the data across collection dates and we look at the means, we can see that in this case, the control and the hay production treatment had the lowest light environment, and those treatments were the same ones that had the highest ground coverage. And so what this data is actually telling us is that defoliation is the key factor driving the response as opposed to light. And that's understandable if we look at some of these plots. For example, the plot at the bottom is a plot that was grazed every week. There's a high light environment, but there's very little peanut compared to a plot like that, where there might be, it's a less light environment, some shading of the grass that's growing with association with the peanut, but ground covers are greater. For experiment two, the question that we want to answer is what weed control strategies are most effective in aiding peanut establishment in till strips in bahia grass hull. We used a combination of two nitrogen rates, 0 and 50 kilograms nitrogen per hectare per year, and 6 weed control strategies in the strip. Treatment 1 is a control where no herbicide or mowing. Treatment 2 is a mowing simulating a hay production system. Treatment 3 to 6 correspond to the use of herbicides. These herbicides were used mainly because they are the only ones labeled to be used in rhizoma peanut in Florida. The herbicides were applied on a single application when the wheat pressure actually determined that it was time to apply the herbicides. So the name at the top corresponds to the active ingredient, and within the parentheses you can see the trade name as well as the rates that we used. So treatment 3, pendimethalin, treatment 4, clethodim, 5, imazapic, and 6, imazapic with 2,4-D. The response measurements for this experiment were measured in the same way than the response variables for experiment 1. We look at the results, ground coverage. We can see that two treatments stand out from the bulk of the treatments, and those are the imazapic and imazapic plus 2,4-D. Ground coverage values up to between 30 to 40%. We looked at the frequency values. Again, those same two treatments stand out from the bulk of the treatments with frequency values between 60 and 80%. We analyzed the data by nitrogen rate, and what this data is telling us is an application of 50 kilograms nitrogen per hectare per year had a positive effect on ground cover in the imazapic treatment and a trend to positive in the imazapic plus 2,4-D. So there's a benefit of adding nitrogen in those situations when using those herbicides. In summary, grazing during the establishment year greatly reduced rhizoma peanut cover and frequency compared to another foliation and hay treatment. The use of imazapic and imazapic plus 2,4-D control wheat successfully and allow for greater ground cover and frequency of the rhizoma peanut. And the application of 50 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year resulted again in greater rhizoma peanut ground cover and frequency in the treatments where weeds were successfully controlled. Conclusions and implications: tree planting in bahia grass appears to be a viable option, but the foliation and weed management are critical to rhizoma peanut establishment success. Further studies are needed to explore the performance of other cultivars of rhizoma peanut using this approach, the tree planting, especially those that have a different growth habit. And additionally, the impact of grazing management practices during the year after establishment should be quantified. With that, I'll thank you very much and take any questions that you might have. Thanks. Yes, sir. So the question is, if we have looked at imazapic applied pre-emergence of the rhizoma peanut, and in combination with other. So the short answer is no, and the reason is because we put imazapic basically controls grass weeds and some broadleaf weeds. And so the strip was clean at the time that we actually planted the rhizoma peanut, and so it was useful to use the imazapic when there were actually weeds where the herbicide was going to act on. So it was a post-emergence application of imazapic. Yes, sir.
You mentioned a little bit about the cost of establishing the peanut. And so with strip planting, is that going to increase that relatively high cost even more? Or is it about the same?
Right. So the question is whether strip planting actually would, the cost of strip planting rhizoma peanut mahia grass pastures would be greater than the $1,000 a hectare. And the reason that we look at this system is we are actually strip planting a percentage of the total area. So if you actually prepare the strips, you'd be imposing the treatments on a 50% of your total area. Therefore, you would expect that costs might be reduced by a percentage as well. And so it's a trade between the how much land do you want to apply, do you want to use to prepare the strips to put the peanuts. And we're looking at, so depending on that answer, then we have to look at other types of measurements to see how fast the peanuts actually spreading, and you can come to a compromise of how much area basis you want to impact with stripping plant. Yes, sir. Right. So the question is whether Rhizoma pinot will be persistent in, under a grazing system. Once the rhizoma pinot has been established, and that's where one of the recommendations came for our methodology, is we have a good understanding of how to manage a rhizoma pinot in a mix with the grass that is already established, and that comes out from the experiments of Ortega. Now, in a strip planting situation, obviously the animals go for the rhizoma pinot first in the strip, and they would go and graze the bahia grass. And so that's why we suggest to keep looking at these plots after the year of establishment of the treatments, basically following up to see what's the impact, whether we see some rhizoma pinot coming back up or not in the treatments that were grazed.
Thank you.
Thank you.